We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 27, Attack by Chandavega on the City of Puranjana, Verse 20. Dharbhagyenatmano loke Vishuta durbhagitti sa Yatushta rajarshayetu Vritadat pura vivara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: the daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king. And because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. Purport: as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Shabashukka Bhagala, all kinds of happiness disappear in old age. Consequently, no one likes old age or jara. Thus, jara, as the daughter of time, is known as a most unfortunate daughter. She was, however, at one time accepted by a great king, Yayati. Yayati was cursed by his father-in-law, Shukracharya, to accept her. It's the end of time. When Shukracharya's daughter was married to King Yayati, one of her friends, named Sharmishta, went with her. Later, King Yayati became very much attached to Sharmishta, and Shukracharya's daughter complained to her father. Consequently, Shukracharya cursed King Yayati to become prematurely old. King Yayati had 5 youthful sons, and he begged all his sons to exchange their youth for his old age. No one agreed, except the youngest son, whose name was Puru. Upon accepting Yayati's old age, Puru was given the kingdom. It is said that 2 of Yayati's other sons, being disobedient to their father, were given kingdoms outside of India, most probably Turkey and Greece. The purport is that one can accumulate wealth and all kinds of material opulences, but during old age, one cannot enjoy them. Although Puru attained his father's kingdom, he could not enjoy all the opulence, for he had sacrificed his youth. One should not wait for old age in order to become Krishna conscious. Due to the invalidity of old age, one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, however opulent he may be materially. So ends Prabhupada's purport. Durbhagyenatmano loke vishuta durbhageti sa Yatushta rajarshayetu vritadat puravevaram. The daughter of time, Jara, was very unfortunate. Consequently, she was known as Durbhaga, ill-fated. However, she was once pleased with a great king, and because the king accepted her, she granted him a great benediction. This continues the story of King Puranjana, an allegory being told to King Prachinabharhishat in order to convince him to become thoughtful about the purpose of life. In the previous verse, he was addressed, my dear King Prachina Barhishad, at this time the daughter of formidable time was seeking her husband throughout the three worlds. Although no one agreed to accept her, she came. So this daughter of time is being offered and not being accepted. But as it will turn out, she will be forced upon everyone. Everyone will have to accept this daughter of time. Daughter of time means very closely related to time. Relationship, family relationship, it's all an allegory, but in the allegory, one thing we see is relationships. And there is a family relationship, a kinship between time and the daughter of time. And the daughter of time's name is Jara. And Jara means old age. And old age is identified in the discussion that's referred to in the purport here in the ninth canto as Virupa Karani, as she who disfigures one, she who causes disfigurement. So the body, which is a very nice form when it is young, continues to be very nice through youth, and gradually, by the force of time, together with his daughter, Jara, the body becomes disfigured and becomes dysfunctional, as some of us have noticed as we get older. It becomes more and more dysfunctional. And as Prabhupada says in the purport, because of this dysfunction of the aged body, it becomes incapable of helping us in developing Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada would often quote a verse from the Bhagavatam, Komaram Acharet Pragyo, Prahlad Maharaj saying, Komaram Acharet Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavataniha Durlabam Manushang Janma Tat Tat api adruvam artadam. Best thing is to start when we're young. However young we may be, of course the soul is eternally young, and so one should also not be discouraged if one is starting late in life, because the soul, after all, has no age. And therefore, although Prabhupada says one cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness, elsewhere he will say one can make progress in Krishna consciousness in any condition of life. And that is, in fact, one of the messages of the Bhagavatam as a whole. The Bhagavatam is a book of hope. Although it is sometimes painting very dark pictures, as we are getting here, it's also giving hope. Or rather, more importantly than the dark picture, or because, or based on, or above, whatever, the dark picture, there's a bright picture, right? A very bright picture of eternal life in Krishna consciousness. So let's see what details are being given here. The daughter of time was very unfortunate. The word Dorbhagya is in the verse, and also the word dur bhaga, unfortunate. Bhaga is related to the word Bhagavan, or rather Bhagavan is related to bhaga, and bhaga means share, as in a share of a cake or a pie or something you divide up. And from that we get bhakti, and so bhakti is about sharing, exchanging, sharing shares. And someone who has a lot of shares of something is called a rich businessman, is called Bhagavan. And the supreme businessman, no, the supreme being, the supreme personality who has all the shares, actually, although he allows us to think that we have some shares, he is known as Bhagavan, Svayam Bhagavan. Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa Krishna's two Bhagavan Svayam. Among so many Bhagavans, this is Bhagavan himself. Who? It is Krishna. But here we're, and then Bhagya, the word Bhagavan is having shares, and Bhagya is related to that, and so one who is fortunate is called Bhagyavan. How is the verse? Brahmanda bhumite kon Bhagyavan jeev Guru Krishna prasade paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Yes. One who is fortunate, however much one has been wandering through this this world, this cosmos, one is fortunate at what is it's a definition of good fortune, you can say. It is a definition of good fortune. One becomes fortunate when and only when, or if and only if. It's like mathematical proofs or geometrical proofs. If and only if X, Y, Z. If and only if one has received the seed of devotion, of the creeper of devotion, which is given by a team. There is a team. It's teamwork. Spiritual life is teamwork, starting with Krishna, the supreme fortunate one, the supreme person, Bhagavan. He works in a team. He works together in a team, together with his servant, who is designated as Guru, because Krishna is Adi Guru, and then he engages others as Guru in order to help him to get us, get planted within us the seed of devotion, from which then we can, by climbing up this creeper of devotion, we can reach the lotus feet of Krishna. There's this story mentioned in the purport. It's a rather complex story, but one interesting feature of it, which is more elaborately told in the ninth canto, is about Yayati. Like so many stories in the Bhagavatam of kings going hunting in the forest, Yayati is hunting in the forest and he becomes thirsty. And what does he find? He finds in a well a certain girl named Devayani, and she is naked, and she's been thrown in the well by her friend Sarmishta, who became angry with her because she had taken her clothes, Sarmishta's clothes, instead of her own clothes, after they had all, together with their many, many friends, were bathing in a lake, and Lord Shiva came along. They all put on their clothes. Devayani put on the wrong clothes. Sarmishta became angry. They got in an argument. And Devayani ended up in a well, only to be found by good fortune by this King Yayati, who then saved her. And she was very happy. She said, "You have taken my hand." And this is one expression in Indian languages of marriage. To take a girl's hand is to marry that girl. So he gave her hand for her to get out of the well. And in the process, she said, "Ha! now we're married. And he said, really? Oh, okay. She said, yes, it must be by destiny. Although he was, she was a Brahmin and he was a Kshatriya. She had been cursed. That's another story. There's always cursing and counter-cursing. She had been cursed not to marry a Brahmin by Kacha. And Kacha was a student of her father, Bhrigu, was it? Correct me if I'm wrong. Kacha was a student. He was a son of Bhrigu. He was the student of Shukracharya, who had come to Shukracharya in order to get the Mrita Sanjeevani mantra, the power to bring back life after having been killed. I always wondered about this when I was very small. Perhaps not all of you in my family, we were brought up very much on television and as the one-eyed guru, and there were lots of cowboy shows, and there was a lot of shooting, and the good guys, they would get shot, but they would never die. They would, you know, get shot in the arm, and then they would just get the bullet removed, and then they were okay again. The bad guys got killed. The good guys didn't get killed. And I always wondered about that. How is it that the good guys never get killed? Anyway, this situation, this of the gaining of the Mrita Sanjeevani, led eventually to Kacha becoming cursed, because she, the daughter, wanted him as husband. He said no, because she was the daughter of his guru, and so she was in a position of, he felt, superiority, to be respected as mother, and so he said no, and then she got upset, she became angry, cursed him, you will not be able to use, you've received now this knowledge, you're not going to be able to use it. After all that effort he went through. And then he counter-cursed her, and the counter-curse was that she would not be able to marry someone of her rank, of a brahmana. And so, now she's being pulled out of a well by a kshatriya. And so she says, it is destiny. We must be married. So, okay, they marry. But then this leads to more problems. Marriage, I have to say, in the Bhagavatam, is mainly fraught with troubles. There's a message here somewhere. It's not always the case that it's fraught with troubles, but to a large extent it's fraught with troubles, which leads to a slightly unrelated, but of course related, topic, and that is thinking and thoughtfulness. We heard this morning in the reading from Namamrita, which was a purport from fourth canto, actually, that about Muni. That a Muni is someone who is thoughtful, in contrast to a devotee. Sorry, a devotee is thoughtful. A devotee is a Muni. A Muni is thoughtful, in contrast to a non-devotee who is speculative. As much as a devotee is thoughtful, a non-devotee is speculative. I think that was the statement. Yes. Which raises lots of questions. What is the difference between thoughtfulness and speculation? Well, thoughtfulness for a devotee is, or reflectiveness, thoughtfulness is, first of all, reflection about one's actual condition in this world and the condition of this world. All of this discussion is about the dangerous condition that we are in. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture that this world is no place to stay. It is contaminated. It is. He gave the example: you come to some place, and the health officer says, "This area is contaminated. Everyone out." And so, you know, you hear that there's plague in some place, then you leave. I was recently hearing a discussion about Isaac Newton, that in the 16th century the plague broke out in England, and he was in Cambridge at the time. This was 17th century, in the late 17th century. He had just finished his schooling at Cambridge. He went away from the city to go to his home in the country for a year and a half to get away from the plague. So, and there he thought, for a year and a half, he thought deeply. And the history goes that as a result, mainly of that thinking that he did for a year and a half at home, he came up with his laws of motion, which later became so revolutionary. But my point here is that one thing that is the practice of a thoughtful person, of a devotee, is to be thoughtful about the dangerous predicament that one is in, and therefore the plans that one makes are not plans to stay here. The non-devotee is making lots of plans, and one might say is very thoughtful, but actually that thoughtfulness is being speculative, and the speculation is that somehow or other, I will be able to remain here. The devotee understands you can think all you want, you can make all the arrangements you want, you are not going to be able to remain here. And so what kind of planning, what kind of thoughtfulness is that of a devotee? It's making plans. How to get out, how to escape this world. There are many stories about devotees escaping from the complexities of material life, social life. We were discussing this in our Chaitanya Charitamrita class yesterday. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, took sannyas, and there's a well-known story of Shankaracharya, how he managed to take sannyas despite his mother's request that, well, her rejection of his request to take sannyas eventually turned around into a situation where she was kind of forced to agree to give to let him take sannyas. Namely, he was bathing in the river, he was attacked by a crocodile. While he was in the jaws of a crocodile, his mother on the bank of the river was probably screaming in agony, "Help, help," no one was coming to help. Shankara called out to his mother, "If you give your permission for me to take sannyas, will you now, then maybe this crocodile will release me." "Yes, whatever, you know, just so that you will live." And sure enough, the crocodile opened up and Shankaracharya was released. And then he immediately left home. And there are other stories. There's one about Suridas we talked about. He is said to have been blind from birth, and his family thought, how unfortunate we are to have this blind boy. He is the cause of misfortune in our family. One day the father received a gift or a payment of 2 gold coins. It was like a fortune for him. He took the money and he put it somewhere in the house, but lo and behold, a rat came along and grabbed that and put it somewhere else, so the father couldn't find it. The son, Surdas, knew, although he was blind, where the money was. He asked his father if he made a deal with him. If I tell you where that money is, will you let me leave home? His father said, sure. Because he was thinking he was the cause of the misfortune. So, yeah, hey, go wherever you want. So he found the money. When he found the money, the father thought, actually, this boy is good to have around. And so he said, no, I think you should stay here. No. You have promised you to let me go. What could he say? Okay, so he let him go. And then he stayed some kilometers away, but the reputation of him spread that he was a diviner. He was able to see, although he was blind. And the point is made about Surdas that his so-called blindness actually allowed him to have real sight. He was able to always be connected with Krishna. His fame spread, and everyone would come to him to help find their lost whatever, their lost cows, their lost, you know, whatever. And so suddenly he became rich. But being Surdas, he gave all of that up. In fact, he gave it to his family, the story goes. And then he left and joined the Hare Krishna movement. Hare Bol. Jay. Okay, thoughtfulness. So thoughtfulness is making plans to, you know, get ourselves out of our condition of bondage. And so what does that mean? While we are engaged in the world, what are we thoughtful about? Well, of course, we're thoughtful about what it means to be a servant of Krishna. That doesn't mean that we just sit around and think, what does it mean to be a servant of Krishna? No, it means that we become reflective about our service to Krishna and how that is pleasing to Krishna, how to improve the service, how to connect, how to make the connection to Krishna. Thought, generally we think of thought as something analytical. We cut things and slice them and take them apart. That's analysis. And that's the problem of the non-devotee, or it tends to be, that they can analyze the world to the point where they become disabled. There's a very nice little essay by one professor of philosophy I was reading the other day. This professor was kind of making fun of different dominant philosophies in the world, starting with, one of them is Marxism. So he gives an analysis that according to Marxist philosophy, following the arguments of Marxist philosophy, why one should not be a gardener. And then another analysis he gives according to another philosophy, which is existentialism. Why one should not practice gardening. Why one should not actually go out and work in the garden. And then there's 4 or 5 of them. The last one is analytical philosophy, which is dominant in Oxford. Analytical philosophy, they're very concerned to analyze the meanings of words. And so in this philosophy they say, gardener? What is a gardener? we have to first understand what is a gardener. And until we understand what is a gardener, we cannot garden. And like that, there's a constant dissection to the point of inaction. But devotional thoughtfulness is actually a process of synthesis. And it's a synthesis which is bringing ourselves together with Krishna in a process of constant remembrance of Krishna. Smartavya satatam Vishnor vismartavyo na jatuchit. Sarve vidi nishedhasyure tayore vakinkara. One is always remembering and never forgetting Vishnu. Srila Prabhupada explained in another lecture, it was an initiation lecture. So he was explaining, Om apavitra apavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasmarit punarikaksham sabahya bhyantara shuchi. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. And he's explaining, Pundarikaksha is the name of Vishnu. But just to make sure, if someone is thinking Pundarikaksha, Pundarika, this means lotus, Aksha means eyes. So my beloved, he or she, or my beautiful son is Pundarikaksha. In case someone is thinking that, so the completion of the mantra is Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, just to make sure one understands that it's Vishnu, it's Krishna, who is Pundarikaksha, that one will always remember and never forget. So our practice of thoughtfulness is the practice of synthesizing everything and seeing how Krishna is present in our lives, how Krishna is present in our service, and also how to make the connection of others who are currently disconnected from Krishna, who, instead of being thoughtful, although they are making so many plans, are speculative. How to make someone who is speculative into someone who is thoughtful. How to, in other words, attract someone to engage in the service of Krishna, to engage the mind. How can I spread this Krishna consciousness movement, which Prabhupada said is the best way to engage the mind, to think, how can I spread this movement? In that way, of course, we become fortunate, we make others fortunate, and again, fortune means having shares. We share with others what is to be shared. There's really only one thing to share, isn't it? And that's Krishna consciousness. We make ourselves fortunate, others fortunate, and then there's a chance that the world can become fortunate. Otherwise, it's a very dark place where old age is simply making everyone into virupa, into disfigured. People's natural beauty becomes lost by old age. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, further points, questions? Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this cursing, this Brahmin lady.
Cursing of the Brahmin lady, yes.
But just in one way, a little bit of a problem, because she cursed him, if he could not use his knowledge. And he cursed her all the time, marrying anybody with her knowledge.
Ah, yes. Yeah, you'll find that this is usually the case, that a curse is somehow fitting to the offense. And similarly, a blessing will be fitting to the pious action that someone does. Yeah, it's like that. Yes. So therefore, yes, you want to say, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that you were saying that
Yes, it's sharing sharing the mercy which we already have amongst those who can appreciate it. Yes, that's true. What is that saying? Charity begins at home. Yes. So that we do. However, our society as a whole, we don't want it to become a bubble. You know, so sort of a bubble in which we're all very blissfully Hari Bol, chanting Hare Krishna, and the rest of the world out there is on the Titanic sinking, you know? That's not our philosophy, is it? But you're right, you're absolutely right. Sharing begins at home just as charity begins at home. Good. Yes.
Charity begins at home, but it doesn't stop there.
Right. Charity begins at home, but it doesn't stop there. Good. Yeah. Right. Let's see. Partasari Pramukh, do you have any exciting Iraq stories for us? Huh? you're full of such stories. Okay, then, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.